coronavirus impacting sports media and the dream broadcasting team that was not. Welcome to the latest Sports Media Beat. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Lovallo, and we are putting this Sports Media Beat together on March the 11th, 2020. And, of course, the lead story is what the lead story is everywhere, and it has to do with the coronavirus. I mean, right now, no matter where you look, it is the lead story, and it's having a major impact on sports media. Let's begin, for example, with the, well, story out there that the governor of the state of Washington, in fact, by the time you hear this podcast, it might have already happened. The governor from the state of Washington is going to be ordering that all events where large people are gathering be canceled for the time being. And that could have a major impact on the Seattle Mariners home opener. Right now, the Mariners are talking about playing their home games in Arizona. That's one of many, many for instances. Mike Gorman is the TV voice of the Boston Celtics. He was quoted on a radio talk show in Boston on Tuesday, March the 10th, that it would not surprise him if very soon NBA games are played in empty arenas. Jerry Remy, longtime color commentator on Boston Red Sox telecasts, who has been fighting the fight against cancer for many years, will not be making the Red Sox season-opening road trip to Baltimore. Even though he has been cancer-free for the last 18 months, his doctors have told him you are better off not going to Baltimore to help the Red Sox telecast the Boston games against the Orioles in Baltimore. The Ivy League canceling its basketball tournament at Harvard, men's and women's basketball tournaments canceled. In my home state of Connecticut, which the high school sports are governed by the CIAC, the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference, they have canceled the high school tournaments for boys basketball, girls basketball, swimming, hockey, canceled. So you've got a situation, for example, where seniors who have always looked forward to this time of year with a chance to put a capstone on their scholastic career will not be able to in the state of Connecticut. You know about the locker rooms being closed at the MLB, NHL, and NBA level, and now they've got interview areas set up. I was reading in the Boston Globe, for example, Dan Shaughnessy writing that you can't get within 6 feet of a player in order to interview that player. So I don't know what's going to happen as far as electronic interviews are concerned. What do you do if you're supposed to interview a player on a pregame show? You're going to have to do it by phone, maybe? Even though the player is 6 feet away, it's very possible. And this is just the beginning. Who knows down the road what the impact is going to be? And as I said, by the time you listen to this podcast, even more changes will have taken place. It is a scenario I don't think sports has witnessed for a long, long time. Let's get to this dream broadcasting team of Al Michaels and Peyton Manning. There were reports in various media last week that ESPN was trying to get Al Michaels out of his NBC contract so that he could go to work for ESPN and team up with Peyton Manning, the dream broadcasting team. Well, NBC put an end to that conversation by saying Al Michaels has 2 years remaining on his contract, and he is going to fulfill those 2 years. We are not releasing him from his contract. Now, I read on one website that ESPN really wants into the NFL in a big way beyond Monday Night Football. Apparently, ESPN is going to make a big pitch for the NFL rights to Sunday night games, Monday night games, and Thursday night games. It's going to be primetime NFL 3 nights a week if ESPN has its way. Now, of course, ESPN has to win the bid, and you know the other networks are going to be ponying up. This is huge, and it's huge because the NFL is about to negotiate a television contract with all of these networks that's going to bring in even more billions of dollars beyond the billions the NFL makes now. That's why they're hoping to settle this deal with the Players Association. And I believe the deadline for voting is tonight. As I put this together, I believe the deadline for the players to vote on the new contract is at 11:59 tonight, March the 11th. So this will be interesting to see what happens as far as whether the players approve this new deal. You know, there's a lot of division within the NFL Players Association as to whether they should accept this contract, which would add one more game to the regular season. Players are not crazy about that, which would expand the playoffs and supposedly give the players some of what they're looking for. But the bottom line is the bottom line, and the NFL sees an opportunity to bring in even billions more. I read a story where Roger Goodell, the commissioner, had a goal of having the NFL produce annually, $25 billion in revenue. And he sees this as an avenue by expanding the TV contract. But they've got to get a deal with the Players Association first. Formula One on ESPN. In fact, ESPN issuing a press release with the new season of the FIA Formula One World Championship set to launch this week in Australia. ESPN begins its third consecutive year of coverage with expanded offerings, a new availability for Spanish-speaking fans, and a continuation of commercial-free race telecasts. And it's going to be on all of the ESPN platforms, and it's going to be big. Speaking of the ESPN platforms, they are really pushing ESPN Plus. Yes, they are. And to that end, the PGA has cut a deal with the TV networks, and ESPN is a big part of that deal. This is a 9-year rights deal, and the annual revenue for the PGA will grow from $400 million to $700 million. CBS will get 19 events per year. Doesn't include the Masters. Remember, we've told you the Masters is not part of the PGA, so that's 20 events on CBS a year, 19 under the PGA Tour domain. NBC gets 8 events. NBCU's Golf Channel continues to provide early round coverage along with the PGA Tour Champions and Korn Ferry Tour. But here's the other deal. PGA Tour cuts a digital rights deal with ESPN Plus, and so its PGA Tour Live will be accessible by way of ESPN Plus, which at the moment is $4.99 a month for a subscription. And they continue to grow. The last I saw, and I'm sure it's beyond this now, they have 7.5 million subscribers. By the way, the LPGA also gets a rights deal on the Golf Channel, CBS, and NBC. Here's Jay Monahan. He's the commissioner of the PGA Tour. He's quoted as saying, "The 9-year deals will put us in a position to significantly increase player earnings, deliver more value to our tournaments and sponsors, and ultimately allow us to continue to grow our charitable footprints." So a big deal as far as the PGA is concerned. ESPN had an interview with Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, and they placed it on YouTube. And you might be asking, well, what is ESPN doing placing this interview on YouTube? It has so many platforms, so many other avenues to access. Why would they put it on YouTube? Well, ESPN also has a goal of expanding its footprint on social media. ESPN now boasts 10.7 million subscribers across 10 YouTube accounts. During 2019, those accounts generated 3.3 billion views and 12.1 billion minutes watched. Those numbers were up 70% and 92% respectively year over year. So that's why ESPN is doing this. They want to expand their social media footprint, and one of the ways to do it is by way of YouTube. Let's look at the ratings. XFL ratings Sunday on Fox Sports 1 featured St. Louis and D.C. Lowest XFL ratings over the past weekend, by the way. That got a 0.48 rating, 767,000 viewers. Sunday on ESPN featured Tampa Bay, Los Angeles. That got a 0.4 rating, 833,000 viewers. Saturday on ABC featured Seattle-Houston. That got a 1.05 rating, 1.55 million viewers. Also Saturday on Fox featured New York and Dallas. That got a 0.9 rating and 1.5 million viewers. Oh, yeah. New York and Dallas. College basketball, Duke UNC on ESPN, Saturday, March 7th. Smallest audience for the rivalry since the 2011 ACC tournament final. A 1.4 rating, 2.23 million viewers. Earlier Saturday, Louisville, Virginia on ESPN, 1.21 million viewers. Kansas, Texas Tech on ESPN, 1.15 million viewers. Wisconsin, Indiana on ESPN, 1.17 million viewers. NBA, the Sunday showcase on NBC, Lakers and Clippers, the Battle of L.A., fifth largest audience of the NBA season, 2.3 rating, 3.62 million viewers. Friday night on ESPN, the Bucks and the Lakers, a 1.6 rating, 2.43 million viewers. Earlier Friday on ESPN, Heat, Pelicans, a 1 rating, 1.51 million viewers. The NBA Saturday primetime on ABC featuring the Sixers and the Warriors, a 1.3 rating, 1.93 million viewers. Finally, NASCAR, lowest rated NASCAR race since 2005. This was the race from Phoenix on Sunday on Fox, lowest rated, but it's 2.7 rating and 4.58 million viewers was the most watched weekend sporting event. So even though the ratings are down, NASCAR is still a winner on TV. Incidentally, NASCAR, that race, adults 18 to 34 got a 0.9 rating. That tied for first for the weekend. Adults 18 to 49, a 1.2 rating, tied for second. So it still scored pretty good in the demos where TV loves to appeal. So there you have it. I will link to all of these stories in the show notes. Just go to sportsmediabeat.com and do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast. We are in Apple's podcast directories and all of the major podcast directories. Just enter Sports Media Beat in your search and you'll get the podcast. And again, the website is sportsmediabeat.com. Thanks for listening as always. I'm Dan LaValle.